And amen and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. God is good, and we thank him for blessing us to wake up and see a new day. You know it is a blessing, don't you? Do you love God? Sing it with me. I really love the Lord. If you love him, sing it. Will I really love the Lord. Oh, yes. And you don't know. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. Yes, and that's why I love, well, I love him. I really love the... Oh, you sound beautiful. You sound beautiful. And he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over me. Oh, and you don't know what is. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. Well, and you don't know what he's done. Yes, oh yes, he gave me the victory. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the... Let's sing it one more time. Oh, and you don't know what
he's done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave
me the victory.
Yes, and that's why I love, yes, I love him. I really love the Amen, amen, amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, you are truly, truly our honored guest. Thank you so much for blessing us with your presence this morning. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service. We've been embarking on a lesson series. We've entitled the Transformational Discipleship Series. We use the word capstone at the beginning of it because we've selected as a theme for the year, making disciples and making a difference. And we've been driving that all the year, and we are now in the last quarter of 2017. Praise the Lord. Well, time has flown by. And so we are kind of reviewing, and we're putting together all of the tools that God has given us this year and studying and working and living and all of the events that have been happening this year, and we are putting together what we've learned, what we have been learning for strong application. We don't know what's promised in the future. We don't even know if we're going to make it to the end of the year. But we are trying to do better, aren't we, church? And we use the word transformational. We got that out of the book of Romans, chapter 12, and verse 2, and do not be conformed or shaped or patterned by the world's values. Well, the world's priorities. The world's priorities, you know, are outward, and our appearance and what we have and what status we have and what power we may have. But be transformed. The word transformed is to be changed, have a change of disposition, a change of mind, a change from the natural to the spiritual. And God wants us to be transformed. Even though after we become a Christian, our life has not ended. It really has just begun. Amen. And after we are baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of our sins, God still wants us to transform. And we transform by renewing our minds. Not this heart, this heart, but the mind. It starts in our mind. God wants our minds to be reshaped and rethought so we can grow from the natural to the spiritual. Amen. Notice this. So that we may prove. No, God wants us to be transformed. So we may actually demonstrate or display to the world what God wants his disciples to look like. Amen. We may prove what the perfect, the complete will of God is. And so not for our own self-gratification, not so we can brag and say, look at me and how I'm holy and how I've grown. No, it's not for our self-gratification. It is to draw other disciples unto God. Amen. And so we still are making disciples, and we're trying to be transformed. And I know some of us fight transformation, and we fight change. But you know God wants us to be better. Yeah, we want, he wants me. I've been married 4 years. And he wants me to be better in year 35, amen? Yes, and he wants you to be better as a wife, as a student, as a single person, do you think God wants you to be better when you get to be 75 years old? God don't want you to stop growing and say, I've arrived. You're not in heaven yet. And there's yet some things God would have us to do. And we kind of using part of the book called The Transformation of Discipleship. Some of you may have gotten a copy of it and read part of it. It has some good points in it. It gives 8 attributes. And I've just been twixing between how I'm going to try to deliver all of these lessons in a month's time. So I want to deflect a little bit this morning. Because as we transform, I want to entitle today's lesson, Fulfilled in Community. Transformational discipleship, fulfilled in community, because it still is God's plan that we transform, but not in isolation. True transformational discipleship occurs in community. Some of you sports fans, you know football, and you in 2002 the New England Patriots and the at that time I believe it was the St. Louis Rams quarterbacks Brady. Tom Brady, Kurt Warner, the quarterback. The Rams were highly favored in that Super Bowl. High-powered offense, scored a lot of points, beat teams by a lot of points, and they made it to the Super Bowl. And a Super Bowl, great event. And so the New England was an underdog, big underdogs in that Super Bowl. But, you know, before the game, they had all these introductions, all these things going on, and they introduced they asked the team, who you want to be introduced first, the offensive team or the defensive team? They would call all the names as they ran out of the tunnel, and so the Rams chose the offense, and they came out of the tunnel. They called each individual name. They were waving to the crowd, and the crowd jumping up and down. But the New England Patriots did something that I don't think had ever been done before. I think the announcer said he hadn't seen it done in 36 years. Instead of calling the names one by one, they chose the whole team to come out of the tunnel together. And the crowd just went wild. And they showed people in the audience even crying. And he said, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Team came out together out of the tunnel. And you know, why was the crowd so? You know, the people, the world is impressed with united community. You know, the community, a united people, united causes. It impresses people when they see it, because you know how hard it is to be united, amen? And how difficult a task it is and how much commitment it takes to be united. You know, Jesus promised that the world would understand the gospel because of the love and unity of the people. John chapter 17, verse 23, the Bible says, everybody's all right this morning? God is good. He said, I in them and you in me. He's speaking to his apostles, that they may be perfected in unity. Notice, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Transformational discipleship cannot be fulfilled in isolation. Yes, there are moments that we need to be to ourselves, that we need to recharge, that we need to renew. But transformational, we're talking about change of disposition. Is God didn't intend for it to be done in isolation. And somebody in here needs this, because this world will hurt us. People will hurt us. Relationships will hurt us. And they will make us go in our shells and want to be by ourselves. But listen to God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews 3, 12. Take care. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Take care or watch out, brethren, that there be not in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Notice verse 13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now, this passage is written to the community. It's written to the saints. And it's telling us, listen, you encourage each other every day. God is telling us something, church. I know we come here on the first day of the week, on Sundays, and most of us in here right now have not seen each other since last Sunday, if we were here last Sunday. But you know what? There's something wrong with that picture. If I don't care how big a church get, I don't care how, where, it's something wrong when we have no fellowship with the saints all during the week. Nobody. Amen. And he says, encourage each other. Anybody need some encouragement Tuesday? Wednesday? Yeah. I need encouragement every day. He says, why, Brother Gary, why is that so important? So that none of us will be hardened or callous. It's the word for callous, hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And sin can be so deceitful. Amen. And so sneaky and so slick. And when you get, the devil gets you by yourself and have you doing all kinds of things. Amen. We're talking about transformation. See, some of us, we already experienced it. We've been tempted to go off on our managers, our coworkers, and we say, you know what? I'm going to Bible class tonight because I need the Bible. And you in Bible class, and the teacher, like, he's talking to you, and he says, all that live godly will suffer persecution. So, oh Lord, I needed that today. And, you know, it's just the devil is out there, and he challenges us in every way. And some of us, you better keep some sisters on your prayer line. Amen. You need somebody sound with some sound, some strong sense of knowing, some sense to talk some sense into us sometime. Amen. Even those of us that's been in the church a long time. Girl, I know my husband used to talk, child, pray for him. Don't leave him, baby. Don't leave him. Don't leave him. He's trying. You know God's will for your life. See, don't talk to the wrong person you talk to, girl. Look here, come on, you can come over here to my place. Yeah, we got to encourage each other. Yeah, we got to encourage each other. It's going to be all right, baby. I know, yeah, my, you know, some of our, you know, our health, our kids get sick, and, you know, you're in the hospital all week long. Do we need some encouragement? Amen. You know, the death angel passes through all of our homes. He takes our wife. It'll take, the death angel will take your husband. The death angel will take your mother, your father. The death angel will take, do we need encouragement? Amen. Every single day. Can you imagine someone going through many of the trials of life and you going through them by yourself? Amen. Yeah, and so God knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. And I know some of us, see, the community provides encouragement and protection. Amen. See, the community is the church. Amen. It's the ecclesia. It is it's the called out ones, the ones who are called out of the world, who are called to live disciplined lives under the teaching of the one God who created the whole world. Yeah, and so 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, among the churches of God, for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. And sometimes we need to hear somebody that knows that we're trying our best to live godly lives. See, sometimes you just need that reassurance to know, hey, listen, I know what you're going through, but you're on the right track. Don't give up. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. Listen to what he wrote to the Colossian church in Colossians 4:16. When this letter is read among you, notice this. And see, I'm glad we're a Bible church. Because, see, these letters were meant to be read to the church. That we can hear these common experiences that we go through. Somebody's going through the same thing. And the church gets encouraged because you know somebody's standing for what's right. Amen. He says, when this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. You need to read the letter of Colossians and see how Paul encouraged that church, warned that church, and taught that church. Everything thus said the Lord. Yeah. See, transformational discipleship is very personal. It's very personal, one writer wrote, but it's not private. See, don't become a monk. Don't become a recluse. And say, you know what, I'm in my Bible, and stay in your Bible. Read your Bible, and I'm in the meditation. Jesus meditated. On the Old Testament, meditation was encouragement. And I'm into myself. Hold up now. Yeah, see. Transformation. See, God has a purpose. Listen to all of these passages. I want to read these passages before I sit down today. And I want you to notice this common denominator in all of these passages. Paul, when he wrote to the Roman church, he says in Romans 12:10, be devoted. Everybody say devoted. You know what the word devoted means? It means to direct attention wholly to. Direct attention. He says, be devoted to one another. Everybody say one another. See, you can't miss this one another. He says, be. And when I was studying this, some of this is hard to do. Transformation is a change. It's a change of mind. Because, see, sometimes we see these words, that's the first thing we think of is, this too hard. But nothing, nobody, no organization will transform without a measure of effort. But when the transformation is done, you don't look at the work. You don't look at how hard it was. It's the benefits. It's the glory. He says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Now, he uses the term brotherly love. It's a generic term. It's talking about, he's not talking about just for the brothers. It's for all of us, brothers and sisters. He says, in brotherly love. Then he says, he doubles it. Then he says, give preference. Everybody say preference. Preference means to honor before another. Preference. To honor, but he said, first of all, be the, when was the last, when you want to train, you want to transform a relationship? You want to transform your influence? When was the last time you gave your whole attention? Even in, when you're in a situation, some of us, we try to talk to three people at the same time. That's hard. You can't talk to three people. So, you know, one of the things that I try to do, I need some help, is when I have an appointment, like when I have a, when I'm counseling with someone, I'm speaking to someone, I'm talking to, I try to give them my undivided attention when I'm talking to them. And I do that because I know how I am. Have you ever talked to somebody and you're trying to talk to them, but they got too much going on? And look, and they're not listening to you. And you know they're not listening, but they say they listen, but you know they're not listening to you. Don't that get on your nerve? Don't you, when you leave out of there, she wasn't paying no attention to me. When was the last time you devoted yourself wholly to somebody? If you got kids, you communicate with your kids. It's powerful to give them your undivided attention. I tell you what, that's what they want. And it's, you might not have all day. If it's 10 minutes, it's transformational when you learn how to. It's transformational when you learn how to give preference. See that is because most of the time we worry about me, myself, and where I stay, where I fit in, what. I want to be first in the line. I want to be when it's going. What's in it for me? And the teaching is to the saints is to give preference to one. Now, this is a context of the body of Christ. Notice these are not just words; these are actions. This God wants to know how does this look. We're preaching and teaching about it. We're sitting here now, but how does it look? How are we acting toward one another? That is transformational discipleship. You know, I believe that we, as if you are under, well, let's see. I'm getting older, so my youngness is getting older too. Oh, but you know, I think our senior citizens should have preference when we do things, when we have fellowships, when we are eating, when we are serving. I personally think that the seniors ought to have preference. Amen. I'm glad you said that. Just, you know, they're older, they live longer, they move slower. Notice how I say they, I'm not a senior yet. I'm getting close, though. And it would be bad if we a church that we didn't give preference, that we didn't demonstrate it to our seniors. Now, there are times that our young people need to have preference. Amen. And it looks different in different activities and different things. But Paul says, listen, devote yourselves, be devoted to each other, give preference to one another, because that makes a difference in relationships. See, and not only in that situation, just don't be a person that you always want to be first. Yeah, I'm going to sit right here because And I know we all have our little seating areas, but if somebody comes along, if a lady got some babies and you sitting on the end of the pew and she got some babies and you say, "No, I can see Brother Gary real good. I can hear the song leader right here and I'm not moving. I'm sorry." And you stretch your legs out so can't nobody get through. That's how it looks. Amen, somebody. Some of you forgot that you had little babies. Amen, somebody. You see that sister walking right there, got that baby in her hand back there, poor thing. Somebody help that sister out. Oh, my goodness. Let me read some more passages. I'm going to run out of time. I have too many passages to cover. Notice Romans 12:16. He says to the saints, be of the same mind toward one another. Some of these I don't want to take out of context. You read this passage, you read up above it, read below it, you see the true context of it. He's talking about Jews and the Gentiles. But he says, be of the same mind toward one another. He says, now, in the church house, in the community, in the church, he said, in these surroundings, don't be high-minded. In the church house, in God's community. People show favoritism on our jobs, show differences. You treat people different based on the way they look, what status they are, what club they're in, what family they're in, how much money they have. Don't want that in the church house, amongst the community. There are no big eyes and little U's. He says, be of the same mind. Do not be, notice this, he spells it out. Do not be haughty in mind. Some of us need to check ourselves out. Who is that, Brother Gary? I don't know. Yeah, our congregation, we are a fairly larger congregation. You know, people with larger congregation, you know, that's Field Water Church. They got all them snooty folks over there. If they say that, let it be a lie. Because if people come here, visitor, white, black, brown, yellow, purple, pink, they are welcome to come to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. No different than nobody else. And I hope and pray one day that we can see a rainbow. We are diversified, but we need to be more diversified in the Lord's house. He says, be of the same mind. That's transformational, church. The world needs to see this. He says, but associate, notice this, do not be hard in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Notice, this passage really is directed toward people who think they high-minded anyway. That's who he's talking to. He says, now, look, and see, he said, associate. These are actions. When you're going to eat, don't eat with the rich folk. Hello, somebody. Whether we're at the church picnic, we at the fellowship, we at somebody's house, don't come and try to sit by Brother Gary. Amen, somebody. I don't have nothing for you, no way. I want to sit by the preacher. Don't worry about the preacher. Don't worry about sitting by the elders. I know sometimes you may want to talk to somebody, that's fine, but find somebody, see somebody that need to be lifted up. Amen, somebody. You think we don't have nobody like that in the church house? Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, now, see, we talking about, we talking about real transfer. Yeah, but I thought you were going to preach a sermon on, no, this is what we need. See, this is transformational because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we get to practice that which God is trying to show us. Amen. Yeah, see, it's transformation because, notice, it transforms our hearts and it transforms the person who is, a person who, see, they're lowly because they've been beaten down. They've been abused some kind of way, and you lift them up. They are in their mind. They're like, "Now this is God's people. Amen. This is who I want to be with." Amen. And you lift him up. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, because see, don't be too smart for yourself. He says, don't be wise in your own estimation. And I'll read this. I won't elaborate on it too long. Romans 12:3, Paul wrote, he said this, through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. But to think, not we don't want to have low self esteem, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So none of us have nothing to brag about. Nobody don't have nothing to brag about, because God has given all the gifts to everybody. Amen. You didn't give brother Patch. You didn't make yourself be able to sing. Like you sing amen, don't you? You know that, don't you? Who gave you that voice? None but God. So, bro, Pastor can't go out and say, yeah, I did not sing today. But he is singing, amen. But to God be the glory, amen. Yeah, you smart with numbers, and I know all those numbers. So what? And I know we have to study and we have to apply ourselves. We can improve on God. But God, even those of us, listen to this now. Even those of us in the church, see, now the Bible says to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Amen. Workmen, they need to not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible is not going to just jump in our head. Amen. We have to apply ourselves to learn it. Amen? Amen. But notice this. God even gives a measure of faith to every believer. What do you mean? See, what the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek. That's our personal faith. But don't you know that there are some, see, God has given, there's some individuals, you say, boy, I just wish I was spiritual like that sister is. Some of us have to work harder for things than others. Don't be jealous. And notice this, and those of you that can memorize scriptures and you know the Bible and you pray like the Holy Spirit has been in you all your life, thank God for, don't brag about that. Amen. Yeah. You have 10 brothers come up here and pray. Some of them you can't hear. Some of them stutter. Some of them you want them to hear them sit down. And one brother pray like he's standing on heaven's gate. Amen. But you know what? Don't think of yourself any higher than you ought to think. Amen, somebody. See, we don't control our born lots. Some people are born in families that are blessed financially. You don't stay with, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with people. People don't have nothing, and I don't know what's wrong with them because it just don't make no sense. Yo, be quiet. All of us are God's children. Amen. And notice, again, God puts us in this community. Amen. That we might be transformed, that nobody is bigger than the other person. We grow and love one another. We grow in grace of God, and we see how God works, and see God is blessing us all. Amen. And we mesh together, and we work together in love for one another. Yeah, I'm going to skip a couple of passages I have. Let me go to Romans 15:7. Romans 15. I have so many passages, I'm going to stop in my light of time. He says, therefore, accept one another. Amen. He says, be devoted to one another. Give preference to one another. Have the same mind toward one another. He says, accept one another. Just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Amazing how we mingle with like kind. And it's not saying to accept. It's not saying to wallow in sin with anybody. But it says to the saints, learn how to accept people. Notice, our mission is to make disciples. No, make students. pupils, learners. That's God's mission, Jesus' mission, the apostles' mission. See, people is our main product. We're in the people business. And we have to get better with dealing with people. Real people. Now, especially now more so than ever, we live in a global society. I tell you, sometimes I said, some of us, we need to get out more. Some of us, we've been in our little neighborhood. We've been in our little house. We've been seeing the same kind of people, and we act like we don't know how to treat people who eat at a different time than we eat, who dress a little bit different than us, who look a little different color than us. And we don't say it with our mouths, but our actions speak loud. Amen. And God tells us to learn how to accept people. Amen. See, listen, you can't teach nobody. You can't be in a relationship with nobody if you don't accept at least. Now we live with all kinds of people. Amen. White, black, brown. Homosexuals. You want me to stay there? No, you don't want me to stay there. I mean, more so now? More so now than ever before. What you gonna isolate you from all of them? I don't want them coming close to me, but again, don't want to hear now. Something wrong with you? Better check your heart. Amen. Because they have a soul. Just as you have a soul. You know, some of us, I understand, you know, one Iranian guy, he said he felt so much, he got on the airplane and everybody was staring at him. Do you think every Iranian has a bomb attached around their waist? No. We all, listen, black folk ought to understand better than anybody. Amen. And then you acting, we acting, the church, the community is acting. If an Iranian family walked in here right now, how would you act? Amen. Accept them. Notice, let me read a passage. 1, 2, 3. Go. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 27. 1 Corinthians 10, 27. I may need more time to teach on this. Listen to Paul writes to the Corinthian church. If one of the unbelievers invites you and you want to go, eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience' sake. Boy. Oh, Brother Gary, the Bible says have no fellowship. Ooh, you misreading that passage. See, some of us, we complain about everything. We make people very uneasy because of the way we act. And we shut the door of communication before it's ever had a chance to open. If an unbeliever, Paul writes to the church, and he says, if an unbeliever invites you to dinner and you decide to go, it's not saying that you have to go with everybody that invites you to eat. Amen. Some people, you don't need to go to their house. Right. But if you go to their house, don't act like you don't want to be there. Act like you better than them. They serve you some food and you. You there now. You in the house now, so you might well suck it up. Woo! Lord have mercy. I know I'm laughing because I was thinking about my dad, Brother Washington, Brother Curtis Dahl. Can't remember who else. They went to Africa. We have missionaries in Africa. And they went to Africa and they spent all the day. And I said, Bro Washington, what did y'all eat over there? He said, well. But if they set it before you, eat the food. Oh, but yeah, that's hard. Eat the food. Eat some of it. Act like you like it. Amen, somebody. Notice this. But if anyone says to you, this is meat sacrificed to idols, do not eat it. See, some things you know how to deal with. In this particular context, food that was sacrificed to idols, God didn't want his people to eat. But at the same time, listen to the knowledge part. Do not, for the sake of the one who informed you, if somebody said, no, Brother Gary, when you go over there, now don't eat that. Don't eat that. Now I'm telling you where it come from. Now, you don't eat it because that person, they know it was, they got alcohol in it. They got liquor in it. Brother Gary, don't eat it. I said, okay, maybe I need to find something else to eat. But you don't eat it let me finish reading. And for conscience sake, that because you know that it's sacrificed to idol, you know God doesn't want that. Then verse 29, I mean not your own conscience, but the other man's, for why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? See, if it was sacrificed to idols, you know God that violated God's law. And that person thinks it's wrong for you to eat it. But those of us that have the knowledge of God, we know that everything can be eaten if it's received with thanksgiving. Amen. He goes on to say it. Let me read the rest of it. He says, for why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? He said, now, he might think it's sacrificed to idols, but I know all meat I can eat it if I just thank God for it. See, some folks that do all the talking, they don't know nothing no way. And they're missing out on some of God's blessings because of their own ignorance. But let me get to my point before I sit down. He says, verse 31, whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do. See, it's not just talking about eating and drinking. Whatever you do, when it comes to dealing with people, do all to the glory of God. Notice the end. He says, give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. Well, Gary, would you have dinner with some homosexuals? Yes, I would. Yes, I would. Now, I may not do it every day, but I would. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if I should say this or not. But see, we're talking about transformation. It's no play thing. We're talking about transformation. I'm not talking about playing church, playing being a Christian. See, some of us, we got the wrong impression. So see, we got a halo around us, on us, and we living in the world, and our influence is nil. Nobody wants to be around us. We have this attitude that we make people uncomfortable. But that's not the community. That's not the saints. My next door neighbors, two men moved in right next door. I don't know their preference. Don't know they're not married. But we've been, you know, my wife's gonna talk to them. You know my wife. We've been communicating. And I'm telling you, one day soon, we're gonna be in each other's house. One day soon. I don't know when it's gonna be. We've had in our community, we stay in a cul-de-sac. And one of the days, a couple years ago, we had in our cul-de-sac, we went by and passed our flyers, said, let's have a little, just evening hot dogs where we get to know each other. And we did that in our neighborhood. They weren't there then. And people down the street, people we see, you know, wave at and kind of know, you know, we know who they were. And I'm like, KB, don't you think we need to? She said, let's do it. Oh, it was a beautiful day. And you got all different faiths. We have the gospel. We have the truth. We believe we teach the truth of God's word in this body, don't we? We believe it with all of our hearts. Who are we teaching it to? And so, what you going to say to them when they're in the house? Hey, how you doing? What's going on? You know, hey, me and KB, this is KB, these are our kids, and this is what's going on. Yeah, how you doing? Where you from? From Cleveland? Where you from? Ohio? What school you go to? Penn State? Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Wait, where you work? Okay, I work at Exxon. I work at Valva. Oh, yeah, we're ready. What you like, football, basketball, hockey? I like all of that. Really? Do you go to church? Don't offend Jews. Don't offend Gentiles. Don't offend nobody in the community, in the church. Why? See, because we want our relationship to be profitable to God. We want everybody in the world to be saved. That's transformational. Do we need some help?
Amen.
We need some help. But we're trying to transform. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be in this community. You need to be. It's the fellowship. It's the call out ones. It's the assembly. The word ecclesia, call out ones, the word that means assembly. You can't assemble with one person. Just you, yourself. And I know if you're providentially hindered, we understand. If you're on television, even if you're watching television and you're at home and this message is touch your heart, you say, "Brother Gary, I need to be in fellowship." Yes, you, even if you can't, you need to be baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins, and you need to get in the fellowship.
Amen.
If you can't come to us, we will come to, won't we, church? We'll come to you. You here today, you want to be a child of God, you come by faith, believing Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's the same invitation, the same way all of us got into Jesus Christ. You believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. You willing to confess with your mouth what your heart believes, Matthew 10:32, Romans 10:9-10. You willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins. God adds you to this community, to his church. One of the lessons I'm going to do on this transformational series is to see that you must be totally associated to the church, to the fellowship, to the community. There is only one community that God wants everybody in the world to be a part of.
Amen.
And we want you to be not, we don't want you to be a part of any fellowship. And we're not saying that any fellowship, we're not saying that any church will do, and not any church. Not any fellowship, not any community. God has a community.
Amen.
That's what you need to be a part of.
Right.
If you're here today and you're in the community and you're weak, you need the church to pray for you. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. There is power in community prayer. You come right now as we stand and sing.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear him. When the Savior calls, I will answer.
I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere.
Listen,
yes, I'll be somewhere.
Listen,
I'll be somewhere listening for my name.